Eka Iswarupa Danhe Bhina Matrakaya. Anjakaya Vyuha Krishna Lilara Sahaya. These two are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna. This and Lord Krishna's pastimes. Text 6. Se Krishna Navadvipe Sri Chaitanya Chandra. Se Balarama Sange Sri Nityananda. That original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadvip as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram appeared with him as Lord Nityananda. So today, being the appearance day of Lord Nityananda, is a very, very wonderful and auspicious day for all Vaishnavas. We all feel the great sense of debt and gratitude toward the appearance of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda on this planet, who have come to save the conditioned souls. As we've just heard, Lord Nityananda is non-different than Balaram. As Lord Chaitanya appeared as Lord Chaitanya, so Balaram appeared as his first expansion and his brother, Lord Nityananda. So he's often described as the elder brother of Lord Chaitanya, although of course he was not physically in the same family. But nevertheless, from the spiritual perspective, he is considered the elder brother. Lord Nityananda was essential in all of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and he took prominent roles in the spreading of Krishna consciousness all over the world. As we'll see from his different and various pastimes, he actually was extremely active, perhaps even more so than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the actual spreading of the holy names of the Lord. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that he is only one person, and how could he possibly spread the holy name throughout the entire universe? And therefore he called upon all of his devotees to assist and to help in the spreading of the Sankirtan Jagya. And the most prominent personality in the spreading of the holy name was none other than, of course, Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda is considered to be the most compassionate and the most merciful form of the Lord. And so the devotees constantly take shelter of Lord Nityananda. And I think so many of us have found throughout our years in Krishna consciousness that sometimes if we are facing difficulty or distress or simply trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, that our sincere prayers to Lord Nityananda are always answered. The Lord Nityananda indeed is that most merciful incarnation and very, very dear to the devotees, and the devotees are very, very dear to him. So I'm going to read quite a bit today. I'd like to start out with a story of some of the history of Lord Nityananda's life. Nityananda Prabhu was born in Ekachakra, a small village in present West Bengal, around the year 1474. His birth site is commemorated by a temple named Garbhasva and is visited by throngs of pilgrims today. His father, Hadai, Oja, and his mother, Padmavati, were pious Brahmins originally from Mithila. Nityananda Prabhu was born on the auspicious 13th day of the bright fortnight of the month of Magh, which is today. As a child, Nitai, as Nityananda Prabhu was called, loved to enact the pastimes of Lord Krishna or Lord Ram. He did this so authoritatively and with such rapture that the entire village would be immersed in the love of Godhead. Nitai's favorite part was that of Lakshman, and he enacted it with so many apparently authentic scenes not described in the Ramayana that people would wonder if he was making it up or if he was actually relishing his own pastimes. The village of Ekachakra was completely absorbed in love for little Nitai, where he spent the first 12 years of his earthly life. In the 13th year, a traveling sannyasi, said to be the famous Lakshmipati Tirtha, enchanted by Nitai's devotion and service, requested Nitai from his parents as a traveling companion. His parents, bound by Vedic culture, could not refuse the request of a guest and reluctantly parted with Nimai. However, devastated by the separation with Nitai, Hadai Pandit soon gave up his life. Nitai traveled with Lakshmipati for about 20 years, during which time he visited all the holy places in the country, reminiscent of the manner that Balaram traveled while the battle of Kurukshetra raged on. Nitai is said to later be initiated by Lakshmipati Tirtha. And of course, he also associated with another Lakshmipati Tirtha's famous disciple, Madhavendra Puri, who, although his godbrother, was revered by Nitai as a spiritual master. And of course, Madhavendra Puri was the spiritual master of Ishvara Puri, the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Prabhu met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in 1506. We read about that pastime in the After Mangal Arti this morning. When he was 32 years old and the Lord 20 years, it is said that Nityananda Prabhu reached the land of Nadia. He hid in the house of Nandacharya to heighten the ecstasy of meeting through separation. Nityananda Prabhu, in his role as the original spiritual master, was instrumental in spreading the Yuga Dharma of Sankirtan all over Gaudiya Desh, Bengal, and Orissa. His mercy knew no bounds, and people became fortunate to come in contact with him. They were immediately inundated with love of Godhead. It was by his mercy that Raghunath Das, one of the six Goswamis, started the famous Danda Mahotsava festival of Panihati, a tradition that continues to this day, thus able to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He extended his mercy to even fallen souls like Jagai and Madai, delivering them from the sinful lives and protecting them from the wrath of even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, his mercy knew no bounds, and fortunate were the people who tasted the nectar of his instruction. When Nityananda Prabhu returned to Bengal at the request of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he decided to abandon his avadhuta status, and he became a grihastha, householder. He married Janava Devi and Vasudha, the two daughters of Suryadas Sarakail, who was the brother of Goridas Pandit and the spiritual master of famous Shamananda Pandit. Nityananda Prabhu had a son, Virachandra, and a daughter, Gangadevi, from Vasudha. Soon after, Vasudha passed away, and Janava Devi looked after the children. She later initiated Virachandra and also became the instructing spiritual master to the likes of Shamananda Pandit, Srivas Pandit, and Narottam Das Thakur. Janava Devi is revered as a Vaishnavi, and she established the preeminent position of women in the Vaishnava tradition. Lord Nityananda wound up his earthly pastimes by merging into the deity of Krishna, known as Bunky Roy, not far from Ekachakra. Vaishnavacharyas emphatically state that people who try to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without getting the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu will never succeed, and must pray very sincerely to Lord Nityananda Prabhu as the Adi Guru, the original spiritual master, to be delivered to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Nityananda was a very fascinating personality, as well as being, of course, filled with the qualities of mercy, spiritual strength, devotion. He also had another side to him, which was, of course, a very humorous side. And Lord Nityananda was involved in so many pastimes where he exhibited this very funny or very humorous side to him. And I think we heard some of the pastimes on Advaitacharya's appearance day of the different interchanges, exchanges that he would have with Advaitacharya. He also had many similar pastimes with Haridas Thakur. We don't normally think of Haridas Thakur as a very humorous personality, being engrossed in the chanting of the holy name, but he and Lord Nityananda had many, many different joking pastimes like this. So Nityananda was called an avadhuta, and it's described here that he retained that sort of position and status for a number of years until he later took up household life. Avadhuta means that he was practically not a part of the social society, acting very independently, acting not really following so much the rules and regulations of society, but in a completely renounced position. Here's a little description from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Majja 12, of some of his qualities. Nityananda performed many wonderful pastimes with Sri Chaitanya and Navadvipa. Nityananda did innumerable extraordinary deeds, engrossed in the ecstasy of love of Krishna. Like a little boy, he went about his work with simple enthusiasm. He spoke always very sweetly to all the devotees he met, and danced and laughed and sang to himself in bliss. Sometimes moved to an outburst of ecstasy, he roared loudly, astonishing one and all. He sometimes jumped and swam in a crocodile-infested, swelling, hissing monsoon waters of the Ganga, fearless and carefree. Everyone gasped with consternation, but Nityananda swam about in the waters, laughing and splashing. He swam about in the mood of Anantasesha, feeling completely at home in the waters of the Ganga, while the spectator devotees held their breath in anxiety. At times, Nityananda became so surcharged with ecstasy and love of Krishna that he went into an unconscious trance lasting 3 to 4 days. These are some of the inconceivable pastimes of the Lord. They are endless and eternal, and I'm incapable of describing them all. So some of the other principal qualities of Lord Nityananda is that he is considered the source of all spiritual strength, being an expansion of Lord Balaram. And he is also considered to be the original spiritual master. So Balaram is the original spiritual master. Lord Nityananda is also, of course. And therefore, they represent the position of Guru Tattva, of the position of the Guru where spiritual knowledge is coming from and disseminated to the disciples. And of course, that's part of Lord Nityananda's very powerful preaching position, because he does represent the spiritual master who is enlightening his disciples and giving spiritual knowledge to everybody. So these qualities of being the original spiritual master can be found in Adi Lila, chapter 1, text 44, 46, that area. Srila Prabhupada gives several purports explaining the role of the original spiritual master of Lord Nityananda. And he is also, of course, the source of all spiritual strength. So again, the devotees can always pray to Lord Nityananda for that spiritual strength and take shelter of that strength that is found in Lord Nityananda. I was going to read from Prabhupada describes this a little bit in a lecture on the appearance day of Lord Nityananda in February 1977. This is edited in some excerpts from Srila Prabhupada's lecture. Similarly, real strength is spiritual strength. That spiritual strength is Balaram. Bala means strength. Therefore, we have to take shelter of the lotus feet of Balaram, who is Guru Tattva. Balaram means Guru Tattva. Balaram represents Guru. Yasha Prashada, Bhagavat Prashada. If we want to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we want to understand Krishna, then we must take shelter of Balaram. Balahinena Labhya. This Vedic injunction means, without the mercy of Balaram, you cannot understand, you cannot realize your spiritual identification. So that Balaram comes as Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram Haila Nitai. Therefore, we must take shelter of Balaram. If we take shelter of Nityananda Prabhu, then we get peace. So if we want actual peace of mind, if we actually want to be free from this material fatiguement, that's not a word. If we want to become free from this material fatigue, then we must take shelter of Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu is the strength, spiritual strength. And without spiritual strength, you cannot approach Krishna. That source of spiritual strength is Balaram, Krishna's next manifestation, Prakash Vigraha. Krishna's manifesting himself through Balaram, so we have to take shelter of Nityananda Prabhu. So these are, of course, very, very important instructions that Srila Prabhupada is giving us in how to understand and approach the spiritual master and how to approach Lord Nityananda and Lord Balaram. Because it is only through their mercy and through their spiritual strength that that spiritual strength is imparted to us, and that mercy comes down in the cyclic succession in the descending process, starting from Lord Nityananda. Of course, Lord Nityananda is also known as being extremely merciful. Lord Chaitanya, of course, is known as Mahavaranaya, the most most munificent incarnation. And Lord Chaitanya displayed this in so many of his pastimes. But as merciful and magnanimous as Lord Chaitanya was, even more so is Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda is specifically that mercy incarnation, or that mercy expansion of Lord Chaitanya's energy, and represents that fully. And of course, there are so many wonderful pastimes of Lord Nityananda where he shows that mercy to the fallen conditioned souls. Of course, I think we couldn't really fully appreciate and honor Lord Nityananda without reading the pastimes of Jagai and Madai, which you've all heard dozens of times, and we will continue to hear dozens of times, because it's always enlightening and enlivening to us. So I can't remember if I think it's Chaitanya Bhagavat version. I'm not sure whether it's Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat. I didn't write it down. One day Lord Chaitanya suddenly ordered Nityananda and Haridas Thakur as follows. Listen, Nityananda, listen, Haridas. Go and preach my order everywhere. Beg everyone, chant Krishna, worship Krishna, and learn the science of Krishna. Do not preach anything other than this. At the end of the day, come and report to me. In spite of your begging, if anyone refuses to accept your offer, then I will come with a chakra and kill them. That's a pretty strong instruction. Hearing this command of Lord Chaitanya, all Vaishnavas began to smile. In fact, no one has the power to disobey the Lord's order. Ordered by the Lord, Nityananda and Haridas left to fulfill the Lord's mission. Following the order of Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas went to each and every house in Nadia. They requested everyone to chant, sing, and worship Krishna. They further told that Krishna is the life and soul and wealth of everyone. They said, "Dear brothers, chant the names of Krishna with full attention." One day, Nityananda and Haridas met two drunkards on the way. These two were plunderers, murderers, and addicted to wine and women. There was no end to their misdeeds. There was no sin they had not committed. Though born in a Brahmin family, they ate beef and drank wine. They plundered people's wealth and set fires to people's houses. They absconded from the court and could not spend a day without eating meat and drinking wine. Both of these drunkards roamed the streets and very severely beat whomever they caught. People watched them from a distance, not daring to come close. On one such occasion, Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas arrived on the spot. These two drunkards were sometimes very friendly towards each other, and other times pulled each other's hair in anger. They constantly abused each other with filthy words. "We'll degrade the caste of the Brahmins of Nadia," they exclaimed, fully intoxicated from drinking wine. Their bodies were filled with all kinds of sins. Only the sin of blaspheming the Vaishnavas was not yet committed. Since they spent their days and nights in the company of drunkards, there was no possibility for them to commit any offense against the Vaishnavas. There are no sins that they have not committed. Nityananda Prabhu began to wonder about their deliverance. Lord Chaitanya has descended to deliver the fallen people of this age. Where will he find anyone more fallen than these two? The Lord has not revealed himself to the ordinary people. Not seeing his uncommon influence, they are ridiculing him. If the Lord bestows mercy on these two sinful drunkards, then the people of the entire world will see his transcendental glories. Being known as Nityananda, the servant of Lord Chaitanya, will only have meaning if I can purify their hearts and deliver them. How wonderful it will be if they become intoxicated chanting Krishna's name the same way they are intoxicated at present. The glories of Lord Nityananda are unlimited. He descended to save the fallen souls. Thinking thus, Nityananda said to Haridas, "Haridas, look how miserable these two drunkards are." Haridas knew perfectly well the glories of Lord Nityananda. He thought, "He will certainly deliver these two drunkards." From a little distance, Nityananda and Haridas loudly repeated the Lord's message to the two debauchees. Nityananda and Haridas said, "Chant Krishna, worship Krishna, and sing the glories of Krishna. Lord Krishna has mercifully delivered you. Please give up your sinful life and worship him." Hearing the loud voice of Nityananda and Haridas, the two drunkards raised their hands and looked around. Their eyes became red with anger. Seeing the sannyas feature of Nityananda and Haridas, they chased them, screaming, "Catch them, catch them." Nityananda and Haridas quickly ran away. The drunkards yelled at the lords as follows, "Oh, brothers, where are you going? No, you will not escape the grip of Jagai and Madai. You don't know who's chasing you. Turn around and see. We are Jagai and Madai here." Feigning great fear, the two lords ran very swiftly, hearing the threats of the drunkards. They prayed, "Oh, Krishna, oh, Govinda, please save us." Haridas said, "I cannot run anymore. Alas, why did I come with this naughty boy, even knowing his restless nature? Krishna saved me from the wrath of the Muslims, but now I'm going to surely lose my life because of this naughty boy." Finally, Nityananda and Haridas reached Lord Chaitanya's house. Just then, Nityananda and Haridas arrived before the Lord to report the day's activities. They said, "We have seen two strange persons. They are heavy drunkards, yet they call themselves Brahmins. We politely asked them to chant the holy names of Krishna, but they chased us in anger. We were fortunate to be alive." The Lord asked, "Who are these two strangers? What are their names?" By the way, Gangadas and Srivastava were also sitting there. Both of them revealed all the sinful activities committed by these drunkards. They said, "O Lord, their names are Jagai and Madai. They are the sons of a pious Brahmin." Lord Vishambhara smilingly replied, "These drunkards were already delivered the moment they had your darshan. Since you desire their ultimate benefit, Krishna will soon deliver them." Hearing this from the lotus mouth of the Lord, all the Vaishnavas immediately began to chant, "Hari, Hari." This convinced everyone that now these two drunkards would be saved. One day after traveling around Nadia, Nityananda Prabhu was returning home in the evening. Suddenly, the two brothers caught him. Jagai and Madai screamed, "Who is this? Who are you?" Nityananda Prabhu replied, "I am going to Lord Chaitanya's house." Drunk as usual, they asked Lord Nityananda, "What's your name?" Nityananda replied, "My name is Avadhuta." Absorbed in his childhood mood, Lord Nityananda started to talk with the two drunkards out of his sweet pastimes. He had already decided to deliver these two fallen souls. He thus purposefully came to their place that night. Hearing the name Avadhuta, Madai became extremely angry. He picked up his pitcher and hit Lord Nityananda on the head. As the pitcher hit Lord Nityananda's head, it cut him, and he started bleeding. Nityananda Prabhu simply remembered Govinda. Seeing Lord Nityananda's bleeding head, Jagai became compassionate. He forbade Madai from hitting the Lord again. Jagai said, "Why do you do such a cruel thing? What will you gain by killing a beggar? Leave him, leave him. It's no good to kill a sannyasi." People quickly went and told Lord Chaitanya about this incident. The Lord instantly rushed to the spot along with his associates. Blood flew from Lord Nityananda's head. He still simply smiled, standing between the two sinners. Seeing blood on Nityananda Prabhu's head, Lord Chaitanya went into a trance and began to invoke his Sudarshan Chakra. The Sudarshan Chakra instantly appeared there, and Jagai and Madai personally saw it. All the devotees became totally perplexed. In the meantime, Lord Nityananda quickly began to persuade the Lord. Lord Nityananda said, "O Lord, when Madai tried to hit me again, this Jagai actually saved me. Just by chance, blood came out. I am not at all disturbed. O Lord, I beg you, please give me these two bodies in alms. Please be calm, for I have no distress." As soon as Lord Chaitanya heard that Jagai actually saved Nityananda Prabhu, he became pleased and embraced Jagai. The Lord said to Jagai, "May Krishna be merciful to you. You have purchased me by saving Nityananda. Ask for any boon that you desire. From today, you will achieve loving devotional service." When the Vaishnavas heard the Lord's benediction at Jagai, they jubilantly chanted, "All glories to Lord Hari." As soon as the Lord gave pure devotional service to Jagai, he at once fell senseless to the ground. The Lord said, "Jagai, please get up and look at me. I have indeed awarded you love and devotion." Then Jagai saw the beautiful four-handed form of Lord Vishvambhar, holding a conch, a disc, a club, and a lotus in his hands. Seeing this form of Lord Chaitanya, Jagai again fell senseless to the ground. Sri Gauranga then placed his lotus feet on his chest. He obtained the wealth of the Lord's lotus feet, which are the life and soul of Lakshmi. Jagai caught hold of those invaluable jewels on his chest. Holding the Lord's lotus feet, Jagai began to cry. Such is the wonderful pastime of Sri Gauranga. Jagai and Madai were one, but they appeared in two different bodies. Their piety and sins were also one. As the Lord bestowed mercy on Jagai, Madai's heart became purified and changed. In a moment, he took hold of the Lord's cloth with folded hands, and he fell at the Lord's lotus feet. He appealed to the Lord, "O Lord, both Jagai and I committed sins together. Why then do you discriminate in giving your mercy? Please be merciful to me, and I will surely chant your holy names. There is no one else in the world who can save me." The Lord said, "I see no hope for your salvation. You dare to cut Nityananda's body and make it bleed." Madai replied, "O Lord, don't say that. Why do you give up your own merciful nature? When the demon shot arrows at you, why did you still give them your lotus feet?" The Lord said, "Your offense is much more grave, since you made Nityananda bleed. Actually, Nityananda is far greater than I am. I make this firm truth known to you. You committed a great offense at the feet of Lord Nityananda. Now fall at his lotus feet and beg for pardon." Ordered by the Lord, Madai at once caught hold of the invaluable wealth of Lord Nityananda's lotus feet, which are well known to Revati. Vishvambhar said to Nityananda Prabhu, "Listen, Nityananda, it is proper that if someone falls at your lotus feet, you should be merciful to him. Since he made you bleed, only you can forgive him. Now he is surrendered unto you." Nityananda replied, "O Lord, what can I say? You can bestow mercy to anyone, even to a tree. If I have any piety amassed from previous births, I am giving it all to Madhai. I am telling you the truth. I don't care for the offenses he's done to me. O Lord, please remove your loser energy and be merciful. This Madhai belongs to you." Vishwambhar said, "If you have indeed forgiven all his offenses, then please embrace him so his life will be successful." Instructed by the Lord, Nityananda Prabhu tightly embraced Madhai. All his material bondage and massive sins were destroyed. Nityananda Prabhu entered the body of Madhai, and thus Madhai became fully equipped with all of the energies of the Lord. Thus both Jagai and Madhai were delivered. They then offered prayers at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu then commanded them, "Sin no more." The Lord said, "These two are no longer drunkards. From now on, they are my servants." The Lord said, "Please get up, O Jagai and Madhai. Do not worry. From now on, you are my servants. Personally, I will not take their offenses. Know it for certain that it was by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu alone. Actually, I have taken all of their sinful reactions on me. O brothers, you can all see the proof of this directly. To convince everyone of this, the golden body of the Lord immediately turned black." So this is, of course, one of the very, very wonderful pastimes exhibiting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And it's very, very instructive to us. And we can understand that, if there is any offense made to a Vaishnava, that one must approach that particular Vaishnava and beg their mercy. So it is only when Madhai actually surrendered to Lord Nityananda, fell at his feet, and asked for his forgiveness, then he was pardoned from all of his sinful activities and was given the full mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We also can understand from this pastime this very incredible, merciful nature of the Vaishnava, playing the parts, of course, as devotees. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda show the most superlative qualities of Vaishnava behavior. This is actually quite extraordinary if you consider that somebody attacked you on the street, you know, hit you in the head and your head is bleeding, and your only thought would be, how can I deliver this person? How can I bestow my mercy upon this sinful person so that they might experience pure love of God? So this is the most amazing, merciful nature that we are seeing exhibited by the two lords, Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, this is the example. Playing the part of devotees, they show this great example that we've also seen in the lives of so many of the Vaishnavacharyas coming from the line of Lord Chaitanya. This merciful nature of wanting to risk all odds, of accept all offenses, to accept all inconveniences, to simply spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya and deliver the fallen conditioned souls through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So, again, very, very wonderful example and pastime. Read one more. I'm not sure how we are on time. Should we end class or another? Oh, really? Okay, so we got a few more minutes. I'll read one more. This is another one from Chaitanya Bhagavat called Lord Nityananda and the Thieves. It's a very interesting story. A young Brahmin lived in Navadvip who was a formidable thief and plunderer. No one was equal to or greater than him in this illicit field. He was the commander-in-chief of all the thieves and plunderers. Quite an honor. He was a Brahmin in name only. Actually, he was the most evil-minded person. He had no mercy in his body. He did not hesitate to kill others and always kept company with similar murderous men. When this rogue saw the beautiful ornaments and valuable necklaces worn by Nityananda Sarup, he decided to steal them. In the guise of a friend, he wandered with Nityananda Prabhu to steal his ornaments. Nityananda Prabhu, however, understood this so-called Brahmin was really a mischievous, cunning dacoit. Meantime, the evil-minded Brahmin made plans with his friends. "Brothers, why are we all still suffering? Goddess Chandi has blessed us with a treasure. All the jewelry this mendicant wears are made of gold, pearls, diamonds, and jewels. I can't estimate how many millions of rupees they're worth. Goddess Chandi has kindly given us a wonderful chance. He lives in a lonely house of Hiranyapandit. We can snatch all of these ornaments in an hour. Prepare yourself with swords and shields and get together at night. Tonight we'll invade and plunder Hiranyapandit's house." Having made this plan, all the thieves left for their homes. At night, they gathered at the planned spot. They had swords, knives, and tridents. They surrounded the house where Nityananda Prabhu was staying. They sent one spy ahead to check out the situation in the house. Nityananda Prabhu was taking his meal, and all the devotees were chanting the holy names all around him. The spy returned and informed the others that the Avaduta was eating and others were staying up. Thieves decided, let him eat and go to bed. Then we'll invade the house. For now, we'll wait and watch. All the thieves sat beneath a tree, waiting for the right time to plunder Nityananda's well. One of the thieves said, I'll take the golden bangles. Another said, I'll take the pearl necklace. That night, by the will of Nityananda Prabhu, Nidradevi, the deity of sleep, captured all the thieves. They fell asleep where they waited. They were bewildered by the Lord's illusory energy. The night passed, yet they did not wake. At dawn, when the crows began to caw, the thieves finally woke up. When they found it was morning, they became very sad. They hurriedly hid their weapons in the forest and went to take bath in the Ganges. Finally, the thieves returned to their homes and began to abuse each other. One of them said to the other, it was you who first fell asleep. Another replied, oh, you're talking like you were awake all night and saw who was asleep and who was awake. Then one said, stop this fighting. God has Chandi kindly saved us from disgrace. The next day, the thieves armed themselves again with various weapons. All wore dark blue garments like a band of warriors. In the dead of night, when all were fast asleep, the thieves surrounded the Lord's house. From a distance, the thieves saw many giant guards surrounding the Lord's house. The guards were armed with fierce weapons and always chanted the names of Hari. They were very strong and heavily built. They carried sharp weapons in their hands. The thieves saw that just one of those guards could kill hundreds of thieves like themselves in no time. The guards were decorated with flower garlands and sandalwood paste. They continuously chanted the names of Hari. Lord Nityananda slept peacefully in the house while these guards chanted the name of Krishna on all sides. The thieves were struck with wonder. For the time being, they gave up the idea of invading the house and met off to one side. They discussed amongst themselves, where did these guards come from? One of them said, I guess somehow or another Nityananda Avaduta came to know of our plans. He must have hired these guards from someone. They're not very intelligent, as we can see. After some time, the sinful thieves planned another raid to steal Nityananda Prabhu's ornaments. But the night they decided to break into the Lord's house was, by providence, the darkest night imaginable. It was so dark that people were unable to move about. At the dead of this black night, the thieves armed themselves with sharp weapons and got together. As soon as they got near the Lord's house, they suddenly became blind and could not see a thing. The sudden blindness so shocked the thieves that their minds, intelligence, and life errors almost ceased to function. One fell in a trench and was covered by mosquitoes, leeches, and gadflies. Another fell into a pit where people washed hands after eating. Scorpions and bugs also bit him. Another thief fell on a heap of thorns. He suffered miserably from the pricking of thorns and could not move. Another one fell in a ditch and broke his hands and legs. Some of the thieves got a very high fever. They were all totally perplexed. At that time, Indra, the king of heaven, happily sent forth showers of rain and a storm. First the thieves were tortured by the bites of leeches and bugs, and now they all suffered in a hailstorm. They did not die, but floated in an ocean of misery. The forces of the wind, wild wind, heavy hail, and thundering rendered them unconscious. The intense rain completely soaked the thieves, and feeling extremely cold, they shivered uncontrollably. They lay blindly suffering. Since the thieves came to plunder Nityananda Prabhu, Indra, the king of heaven, angrily tortured them very severely. At last, the sinful Brahmin thief, chief of the thieves, had a sudden change of heart. He began to think, Nityananda is no ordinary man. He must be God. What the people say is true. The first day he bewildered us by making us sleep. Yet by his illusory energy, we couldn't understand a thing. The next time he showed his prowess by manifesting many wonderful guards. Yet I still didn't become aware of his greatness. The agony we just suffered is proper for a sinner like me. I dared to steal from the Lord. Who can save me now? There's no alternative than to surrender to this Avaduta Nityananda. Thinking like this, the Brahmin took shelter of the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu with undivided attention. Remembering the lotus feet of the Lord frees one of all danger. Taking shelter of those lotus feet instantly relieves even a most grave offender. When all the thieves began to think like this, they regained their eyesight. By remembrance of Nityananda Sarup, these thieves got relief from the rain and storm. They soon found their way again and returned to their homes, having been on the verge of death. Then they all went to bathe in the Ganges. The Brahmin chief of the thieves quickly ran weeping to take shelter of Nityananda Prabhu's lotus feet. When the chief of the thieves arrived, he raised his hands and cried, please save me. He then offered respectful obeisances. His hair stood on end. Tears of love began flowing. He started shivering. The Brahmin cried loudly. He went into rapture, merging into an ocean of bliss. Seeing the power of Nityananda Sarup, he was amazed and danced jubilantly. He raised his hands and repeatedly said, O dear Lord Nityananda, you are the savior of the fallen. The Lord said, O Brahman, you're indeed fortunate. You're a staunch devotee of Krishna, birth after birth. Otherwise, why did he bestow mercy on you like this? Who can experience such a wonderful influence except the devotee? Later, this Brahmin convinced many thieves and plunderers to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. They gave up all their sins, like stealing, plunder, and violence. They began to behave like saintly persons. All of them chanted the names of Hari millions of times. They became expert in Vishnu Bhakti and became mad in Prema, always singing the glories of Krishna. Such was the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda. Jai, all glories to Lord Nityananda Ram. Jai, Lord Nityananda. So I think we're getting ready for the... Are there any any comments or questions? Anyone would like to add anything? Yes, Krishna. That's a wonderful question. What does it mean to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet? Is this just metaphorical, or is this an actual... Well, in one sense, of course, it means literally. We can see that in these examples, the Madhai touched the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. So, of course, lotus feet also means service. It really means to surrender to the service of that personality. So when we think of surrendering to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, or to Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, what it really means is that we fully accept their position, we fully surrender to them, and we accept the process of service. So the way that we obtain, of course, the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda is by serving him and by serving the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada once said, example, that in order to get the mercy of Krishna, one must receive the mercy of Radharani. And to get the mercy of Radharani, one must get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, one must get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So how do we get the mercy of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda? By approaching Jagai and Madai. So that was the very, very famous example that Srila Prabhupada explained to us, that by taking up the mission of Lord Nityananda and serving him by approaching the conditioned souls and engaging them in Krishna consciousness, that was the best way to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda and then ultimately the mercy of Krishna. Thank you. Yes. So it looks like we're getting ready for the Abhishek Vaisikana. If you're someone like me who's just generally offensive towards devotees, and how do you rectify that? Well, of course, if there's a specific offense, one must go directly to that devotee, as we saw in this example. Otherwise, one simply, approaches the spiritual master, approaches Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, Krishna, Radharani, and asks for forgiveness, else's, and prays to the Vaishnavas, and tries to serve the Vaishnavas the best that one can, And, of course, Lord Chaitanya is very merciful, and if we approach in a sincere manner, then, of course, as we can see, that is the example here, that the most sinful of people, the most offensive of personalities,